A couple of years ago, I was taking a walk with a friend, and she was telling me a story about her stepmother. She said that one night, her stepmother had gotten up to get a drink of water, and she'd fallen. She was lying on the floor, and she couldn't get up. Well, she called to her husband, who was sleeping in the bedroom, but he couldn't hear her. And she wasn't close enough to the phone to call 911. So she took off her slipper, and she threw it as hard as she could against the wall of the bedroom where her husband was sleeping. But it didn't wake him up. So she took off her other slipper, and she threw that as hard as she could, even louder, against the wall. But it didn't wake him up. So, the stepmother said, I reached for the remote control to the TV, and I turned it on as loud as I could till the TV was blasting through the room. But my husband didn't wake up. So I reached for the stereo remote control and I turned that on as loud as I could. Nothing. I started alternating the stereo and the TV, blasting them in quiet and then blasting. Nothing would wake my husband up. And I was lying on the ground. And an hour passed and finally, I realized there was nothing left to do. I just had to get up. Well, my friend told me this story, and she was laughing derogatorily. She didn't like her stepmother, and she considered this story proof that her stepmother, as usual, was faking being disabled, and she could have gotten up on her own all along. Well, I forgot about the story. But recently, I was sitting out on my back porch in the evening, and I was having a very dark moment. I was feeling just despair. Like I was absolutely incapable of doing what I wanted to do with my life, anything that I needed to do. I just didn't feel any hope. I felt like I couldn't finish my book or any of the other things I wanted to do. It was maybe a little exaggerated, a menopausal moment, but I felt it as very real. And I closed my eyes. All I could see was blackness. It was so black that it felt scary. Then all of a sudden, I heard a voice. It was the voice from the stepmother story of 2 years ago. And the voice said, well, there's nothing left to do. You'll have to just get up. And I began to laugh. I started to laugh because I felt like, of course, when everything looks black, and you're completely paralyzed, and you don't think you can do anything, there's always another way. Well, that became my theme for the High Holy Days, and it led me to the Shlomo Carlbach story that I remembered from years ago of Reb Mendele Vishnitz and Rivka. Shlomo always prefaces the story by telling about the great-great-grandsons of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Well, they used to play together. They were about 5 and 8 years old, and well, they didn't have toys or TV in those days, so what did they play? Rebbe and Chassid. And they would get all dressed up. They'd put on the Rebbe, the hats and the shtreimels. And one day they got all dressed up, and the 8-year-old put on the Rebbe hat, and he sat down at the table. And the 5-year-old came in his costume, and the Rebbe said to him, what can I do for you? Oy, Rebbe, I've done a terrible thing. What? What did you do? I ate something, and I didn't say grace. Nowadays, we can think of lots of sins that are pretty terrible, but in those days, that was the worst they could think of. Well, the 8-year-old Rebbe said, all right, from now on, when you eat, you'll say grace right from the prayer book. Well, his little brother looked at him, and he said, no, that's not right. You're not the Rebbe. And his older brother said, well, what do you mean? That's the right thing to say. The other day, a man came in and he said the exact same thing. And our father, the Rebbe, told him that he should, from now on, bench from the siddur, say grace from the prayer book. The little brother said, no. You didn't even klecht. Klecht is a sigh. You didn't even sigh. Reb Shlomo says that this is the deepest teaching about inner healing. If we go to a doctor, if we have the flu, well, maybe he gives us an aspirin or he gives us an antibiotic and we get well. But the doctor does not have to collect. But for inner healing to happen, it has to hurt you so much that you can't bear it. If it hurts you as the healer or the one being healed, if it hurts you that much, then God will show you what to do. And then Shlomo would tell this story. Long ago in Eastern Europe, it was customary for the great rebbes, before they became rebbes, to have a period where they would dress up as beggars and go among the people incognito. Reb Mendele of Vishnitz, when he was about 15 years old, he went on this kind of walkabout dressed as a beggar to see what was happening in the world. And one day, as he was walking around, he happened to notice a narrow, crooked street, and he saw someone moving, and he looked closer, and he saw it was a little girl, and she was dancing. Well, he was very drawn to her, and he watched her dancing, and he walked closer, and she saw him dressed as a beggar, so she said, "Oh, let me get you something to eat." And she brought out a table and a chair, and she brought him something to eat and something to drink. And while he ate, she danced and danced around him. And when he was done, she said, "What's your name?" He said, "Reb Mendele." "And you?" "I'm Rivkla. Promise me, whenever you come back this way, you'll let me feed you again." Well, over the years, Reb Mendele managed to come back to the village as often as he could, and every time he came by, Rivkla would run and get him the table and the chair and something to eat, and every time she would dance and dance around him while he ate, and it made him so happy to watch her dance. Well, time passed, and Reb Mendele's father died, and he became the Rebbe. He became a very famous Rebbe. He was the Rebbe whose voice is heard in heaven. It was said that he could fix neshamas, he could fix souls, that he could cure people. Things were not going so well for Rivka. As she grew into a young woman, she became very ill, and eventually she became so ill that she was left paralyzed. And her parents took her from doctor to doctor. But finally, they were told that nothing could cure her. Well, one day, Rivkala said to her parents, "I have a feeling that the Mendele, the beggar that I used to feed so many years ago, could be the great Reb Mendele of Vishnitz." And her parents said, "No, that couldn't be. How can that be?" And she said, "But I have a feeling it is. I have a feeling. I think if I go to him, he could cure me." "No, no, that's not him. And even if it was, he wouldn't remember you. Why would he remember a little girl? And even if he did remember you, he couldn't cure you." No matter what she said, she couldn't convince them. And time passed. Rivkala was 20. She was 25. But the feeling inside her was growing. It was growing so strong. And one day she said to her parents, "If you won't take me to Reb Mendele of Vishnitz, I will roll my body through the streets. I will crawl all the way to Vishnitz because my heart tells me that he's the one who can cure me." Well, they put her on a wagon and they began the journey. It was a miserable journey. The wagon was bumping and rattling and rolling through the streets. But the worst part was her parents. The whole way, they were saying, "He won't remember you. He can't cure you. Don't get your hopes up. Nothing will come of this." And it was so miserable. Meanwhile, in the Beit Midrash of Reb Mendele, there was always learning going on. The chassids would take turns studying in shifts, so the voice of Torah was always heard in the Beit Midrash, all day, all night. Now one night, suddenly Reb Mendele walked in about 3 a.m. and he said, "Someone is coming to see me. Someone so special to me, I want you to light candles all over the Beit Midrash. And when she arrives, you call me right away." The last hour of the journey for Rifkel and her parents was the worst. Her parents were saying, "Oh, look, there's people, so many people in line have been waiting for weeks ahead of us. It'll take forever to get you in there. When we do, we can't carry you in there. We'll have to put you on the floor. People will be stepping on you." Well, they didn't let up, and it was hell. Finally, they did get through the line. They got up to the Beit Midrash, and one of the chassids came out, looked at Rifkala and said, "What's your name?" "Rifkala." And he said, "Reb Mendel of Vishnitz is waiting for you." And he led them inside. He set her down, and she looked around at all the candles glowing. And he said, "You are the honored guest. The candles are lit in your honor." When Rifkala heard that, she felt as if her whole neshama had been given back to her, and she breathed a sigh of relief. And then Reb Mendela walked in. He saw Rivka lying on the floor, and he said, "Rifkala, how could you think that I would ever forget you? I could never forget you." Then he began to weep. "I can't see you paralyzed, Rifkala. It hurts me so much. Rifkala, do you remember how you used to dance? I can't bear to see you this way." And then he began to pray. "Rabboina Shaloylam, I can't see Rifkala this way. I can't see her paralyzed. It hurts me too much. It hurts me so much. I can't see her this way. Rabboina Shaloylam." And then he got very quiet. He looked over at Rifkala. "Rifkala, remember when we used to dance? Remember when you'd bring me a table and a chair and something to eat, and you'd dance around me? Rifkala, do me a favor. Bring me that table. Bring me a chair. Get me something to eat." And Rifkala got up. She brought him the table. She brought him a chair, and she brought him something to eat. And while he ate, Rifkala danced and danced. So I bless us all in the new year, in the days of awe to come, that each of us in our davenin will krechts in our own way, sigh so deeply over whatever part of us is paralyzed, that we'll hear a voice that tells us a new way to get up.